question is, who are we? So, by God's help and grace tonight, I'm going to endeavor to explain that. I'd like to begin by thinking about some words that we're no doubt very familiar with. And I'd like to get some thoughts from a few, maybe tonight, of what comes to your mind when you think of these few words that I'm going to mention. One word is privilege. What do you think about when you think of the word privilege? Anybody? Something that's an honor to be able to do. Okay. So in other words, it may not necessarily be, everybody doesn't necessarily have it. All right? All right? Privilege. What about when you hear the word royalty? What does that make you think of tonight? Exclusivity? I mean, it's not everybody. Maybe you think of some particular families, maybe that you, when you say that word royalty, that you might associate that family with the name royalty. Maybe you think of the royal family in England. You know, that you think of royalty when you think of their name. What about majesty? What does that make you? You notice that all these words are somewhat similar. Majesty. Lifted up, exalted, maybe. I'd like to read a few definitions tonight. Privilege is defined by Webster's, is a right or immunity granted as a particular benefit, advantage, or favor. A right or immunity being some kind of protection, all right, granted as a particular benefit, advantage, or favor. Now, royalty. Royalty is defined as an elite class, a right of jurisdiction granted by a sovereign or granted by a supreme authority. So, the question tonight is, what does each of those words have to do with us? Does that have anything to do with who we are? Who are we? Let's turn to the 19th chapter of Exodus. I'd like to begin reading at verse 3. I'm going to read through verse 6. Exodus 19, 3 through 6. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then shall ye be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. For all the earth is mine, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. So we know this is Moses up in the mountain, and God is having a conversation with him. And this is occurring after the children of Israel were delivered from Egypt. And he's speaking to Moses and giving him some instructions to give to the children of Israel. Now note what it says here in the fifth verse. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. Does that sound like some exclusivity? That you can have the privilege of being blessed people, a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. So it's something that was given to them. This is back in the Old Testament now. So in the Old Testament, this is given so that this is the covenant that was given to them. Now we know that it wasn't kept, was it? One writer says, as a nation, they broke this covenant. Therefore, the Lord declared that he would make a new covenant with Israel. And in this time, instead of writing the laws on tables, as it was, right? You remember when Moses was up on the mountain, God, the commandments were given to him, and they were written on the tablets, weren't they? They were written on stone. But he said, this time, I'm not going to write them on stone. I'm going to write them in our hearts. I'm going to write them in their hearts. So we know about the Old Testament. Now let's look at the New Testament and another covenant that was given in the 8th chapter of Hebrews. Again, this is all relating to who we are. Hebrews 8 and 7. Endeavoring to establish a foundation here, and then we'll get to who we are and what that means for us today. Hebrews 8 and 7. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he said, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in that day, when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. So as we understand it, God had a particular purpose that he wanted for those in the Old Testament. And for whatever reason, some just didn't quite cut it. So this time he said, I'm going to write the law in their hearts. I'm going to put it in their hearts. And I want to be a God to them, and I want to be their people. That's what God wants for each and every one of us. So we have an understanding of the Old Testament and the New Testament. Now, again, who are we? Let's turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. I'm going to read verse 1 through 9. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envyings and evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that we may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but to them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient. Wherefore unto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should shew forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into marvelous light. Take note of that ninth verse. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should shew forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into marvelous light. So we are chosen. We're the elect of God. We're a royal priesthood. So we're royalty according to God's word. We think about that word peculiar, a people for acquisition. In other words, chosen by God. That's what the peculiar means. Chosen by God. We think about Jesus and what he did for us. I probably have made mention of it before. We think about this, how we were all purchased, weren't we? We were bought with a price. So when we think about us being a peculiar people, we're God paid for us. He gave his life for us. So with that kind of ransom, so to speak, you can understand why words like chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, because we were purchased by Jesus' precious blood. We're his peculiar treasure. Just as it mentioned in the Old Testament, it made mention of being a people above all people. That same thing is extended to us. That promise was specifically for those at that particular time. You know, we can stand on those promises, but we also have another promise for God being that to us in the New Testament. Because if we will follow, as it says here, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, offered up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. I'm reminded of the scripture that says we present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. So that if we meet those particular conditions, then we can be called royal. We can be called peculiar. We have privilege. We have we've been granted protection by God. We're part of the elite class because we belong to God. We belong to God. That makes us elite. That makes us royalty. So you have more royalty in a spiritual sense than those with earthly royalty, because we belong to the Creator. We are His. We're a people. We're God's peculiar treasure. We're privileged. I'm going to look at some verses in Revelation. Revelation 1 and 6. Listen to this. And hath made us kings and priests unto God. And his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Kings and priests. That sounds like royalty, doesn't it? That sounds like the elite of the elite. That's not all. There's another reference in the 5th chapter of Revelation and the 10th verse. He said, he hath made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. That's what kings and priests do, right? They reign. So we're given, we're kings and priests to reign on the earth. Now, understand, it's not a physical reign. Just like, you know, Jesus came and he had a kingdom he was setting up. His kingdom was not of this world. Our reigning on earth is a spiritual reigning, isn't it? We're reigning spiritually. We're kings and priests each and every day that we live our lives being victorious over the enemy of our soul. That's who we are. So we're royalty. We're privilege. We've been marked for protection by God. We're an elite class. We've been granted, we're elite class, a right of jurisdiction granted by God. In other words, it's been established by God. It's not something that we did of our own self. It's because God appointed each and every one of us. So now, is that who we are? We have some things to think about and consider as kings and priests on the earth. I'm reminded of several little stanzas, little verses of songs as it relates to us being royalty, being privileged people. You recognize this phrase, children of the King. That's from a song, Praise the Lord. The verse says, now Satan is a liar, and he wants to make us think that we're paupers. You know what paupers are? They're poor people. They're a person destitute of means except for what can be given by charity. In other words, just a charity case. In other words, having no ability to do anything ourselves, which all has to be given to us. That's what the devil wants us to think that we are, that we're paupers, that we're charity cases. When, the songwriter says, he knows himself that we are children of the King. So we're all children of the King. We're children of the King. King of the earth, not the earth. You know, you think about most people, they just focus on natural things. They think about kingdoms here on earth. And, you know, what it would be like to be a son of the King. Doesn't that put you in line to be king next, wouldn't it? You're a son of the King. But spiritually speaking, we are children of the King. And not just that we heard about this morning, the King of Kings, right? We heard about it in Sunday school. He's not just the King, he's the King of Kings. So you take all the kings and you stack them up together, and he's greater than all of them. And I'm his child. I'm a child of the King. So lift up the mighty shield of faith, for the battle must be won. We know that Jesus Christ is risen and the work is already done. So the next time the enemy tries to jump on you, tell the devil that you're a child of the King, that you're not a pauper. You're a child of the King. You're royalty. You have privilege. Do you recognize this phrase? Raised from sin to royal honor. That's part of 200. It's the fourth verse. Oh, what grace and high promotion that in Jesus I should be raised from sin to royal honor, even reigning, Lord, with thee. Remember that verse in Revelation? Talked about reigning as kings and priests. To think that I'm way down here in sin, and that I'm lifted up and raised to royal honor. I'm raised from sin to royalty because of Jesus. That's who I am. I've been raised from sin to royal honor. What about this one? God is my Father, and Jesus is my brother. Huh? God is my Father, and Jesus is my brother. Could you ask for a better family? Huh? Could you ask for a better father than God and a better brother than Jesus? That's in 463. In the third verse, God is my Father and Jesus my brother. Since I'm adopted by heavenly love. You think about someone that's been adopted. Do they keep their old name? They get to change the name, right? Whatever their last name was, when they become adopted into the family, they take on that family's name, don't they? They become as one of their own. It's not, you don't say, you're my brother. You're my sister. You're adopted. You've been welcomed into the family. You belong to us. I've been adopted. It says, been adopted by heavenly love. So now that I'm in the family, now that God is my father and Jesus is my brother, I have an heir in the kingdom of glory. And I have a crown that is waiting above. God is my father and Jesus is my brother. Do we understand how wonderful that is? What a privilege. What a blessing. Kings Anointed 2. What song is that from? 200. It's verse 2. One we hail as King immortal. He did earth and hell subdue. And bequeathing us his glory, we are kings anointed too. So Jesus came on this earth. He was victorious over the enemy. And then he bequeathed that to us. So we have that same privilege. And because of that, then we can reign in this life. We can reign in this life because we are kings anointed too. You know, when somebody is anointed something, somebody else can't take it away. You've been anointed this. I mean, I guess we can take it away our own selves if we don't stay in line and do what we're supposed to do and follow God's leadings and dealings, then we can revoke our anointing. But that's something that God gives us. We are kings anointed too. His loving child. That's from Psalm 101. It's in the chorus. Oh, I am his child, his own loving child. He cares for me so tenderly, for I am his child. Those of us that have been parents and have children, you know how much we care for them. We don't want any harm to come to our children. And you know, sometimes for children it's hard to understand that their parents want the best for them. You know, we've all been children, if we are now, we felt like maybe there was times in our lives where we didn't agree with our parents. Has anybody not had that the case? I don't think anybody could raise their hand. We all have had that. But don't you know that parents know what's best? They know what's best. If God is my father, don't you think he knows what's best for me? I'm his child, his loving child that he cares for so tenderly. That's who I am. Think about all these privileges that we have. We're royalty. We're all these things, kings and priests. We're children of the King. We've been raised from sin to royal honor. God is our Father, Jesus our brother. We're kings anointed too. We're his loving child. So why then do we do, as the stanza says, Oh, what needless pains we bear. That's from 179. The first verse says, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. We give it away. Oh, what needless pains we bear. We bring more on ourselves than we have to. Why? All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. We just talked about we are all these things. That's what the word is. It said, kings, we're a peculiar people, a royal people, a royal priesthood. Do we act like it? Do we act like all these things? Lord, help me to remember who I am. Who am I? Why do I trouble myself with all the cares of life? I'm His child. His loving child that He cares for so tenderly. Why would I forfeit peace? Why would I bring on pain on myself that I don't have to? I'm a child of the King. God is my Father, and Jesus is my brother. Do we understand who we are? We are privileged. Lord, help me not to live beneath my privilege. Recognize who I am and recognize who God is. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pains we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. There's a song that the songwriter said. It talks about when we pray. Now remember, we're royalty. We're privileged. We're elite. And we have an advocate, the Father. And we can commune with Him. So the songwriter says that when we pray, the door to heaven will open. The Father is moved when words of faith are spoken. That all of heaven stands at attention when the name of Jesus is mentioned. He hears every word we say when we pray. Who are we? We're a privileged, peculiar people that have access to the great I Am. Despite what the devil might try to tell us, in the troubled and the trying times of life, when the devil comes along and says that you're a pauper, tell the devil to get out of here because you're a child of the King. And that you don't have to forfeit peace. You don't have to bring on needless pains because all we have to do is have a conversation with our Father. And He can make it all better. You know, we think about that in a natural sense. you know, something happened. Child run to their parents. You know, they fall, might fall and scrape their knee or whatever it might be. Might see a stranger, whatever it could be. They run to their father, run to their mother, and they make it all better. We have that same privilege. We can go to our Father and know that He is right there. He's concerned about us. Reminded of the scripture, it says, if He takes note of the sparrow that falls, how much more would He care for just the least of His little ones? And from what we've read this evening, we're a lot more than that, aren't we? We're a lot more than just the least of His little ones. We are royalty. Let's act like it. Let's act like it. And let's realize who our Father is. He loves us. He will care for us. He's concerned more for us than we are ourselves. I desire your prayers. I don't want to forget. I don't want to forget who I am. It's right here in His Word. He let me know. And He's written the covenant in my heart to know that I am privileged. I am royalty. I'm part of His family. I've been adopted. And I'm a child of the King. What a blessed privilege that each and every one of us has to be in that place. And you know what? If you're not there, what did that verse say? We can be raised from sin to royal honor. We heard about forgiving and forgetting this morning. That great God can forget all about what we've done in the past. And He can raise us from sin to royal honor. When you think about that, who wouldn't want to be acquainted with the great I Am? Who wouldn't want to be called one of His children? Who wouldn't want to be royalty? Who wouldn't want to reign as kings and priests on the earth? It's up to us, right? We decide who we are. The scriptures have made it plain to us who we are. I desire your prayers again that I would not live beneath my privilege. I would recognize God and His greatness and His power and not cut it short. I'm a child of the King. God is my Father, and Jesus is my brother. There's no better family to be a part of. There's no better family. You know, maybe somebody would say, you know, maybe you think growing up as a youngster, you know, sometimes you look at other people's families, and maybe it just seems like it's so much better than yours. You know, maybe the devil likes to do that, maybe something happened where you had an argument with your siblings or something, or you disagree with your parents and then make it look like it'd be so much better if you was a part of some other family. That's a lie. But spiritually speaking, this is the best family in heaven and earth. Earth and heaven. Excuse me, got that backwards. It's the best family to be a part of. And everybody has an opportunity. That's who we are this evening. That's who we are. Let's not live beneath our privilege. I desire your prayers.